You, in my mind, are probably the first person that we spoke to on Bloomberg Television last year that actually called President Trump would get in. A month into his candidacy, into his presidentship, I should say, how are you seeing him in terms of being a president versus the candidate and the relationship, I guess, with Asia?
It's a pretty heavy question. So I guess
start off easy.
As a candidate, I think he, you know, he very much had a good platform to get himself to be in office. I think that the candidate Trump and the President Trump are two different people. I think we're seeing right now that he's focusing on some of the domestic issues before he really reaches abroad and starts to really start to execute on an international front. What I would say is something that's a little bit unnerving to me is last weekend with Abe. And the reason I point this out is I think that this is a dangerous course to go on. To friendship is great, but friendship without actually addressing any of the real issues leaves me to believe there's a lot of open issues still. And on a trust issue between leaders, I think you've got to get these things on the table. I think it's great to welcome Abe to the States and support the Japan U.S. relationship, but they didn't really talk about anything that was that relevant.
So do you think it's dangerous vis-a-vis China, or just dangerous in that you're letting Abe get away with some ills that you think need to be addressed?
Well, so I don't think Abe is going to get away with it. I think this could be very damaging for Abe in the sense that he got what he wanted, which was U.S. support, especially in the South China Sea and a host of other things militarily. However, I think the real issue is that I think all of this is a precursor to build up to the Xi-Trump relationship, which I think Trump is being quite smart about, which is he's not jumping into something. I think although it's a slow start, the call last week I think was very important with the one China policy put on the table. Clearly, it doesn't look like Trump is going to rattle that issue. And I don't see any reason for there to be any acrimony between the two of them. They're really, I mean, if both economies grow where we think they're going to grow, they could be great trading partners going forward. And a trade war kills the United States.
Seriously, though, were you watching his campaign? I mean, he spoke very sharply about China eating our lunch, right?
But yeah. I think, as you were saying, it's very different to the candidate, to the president.
Yeah, so the credibility that Trump will get is that he has to forge a relationship with China, in my opinion, to keep the U.S. going. And the issue that he's faced with is that China is a trading partner of everybody, right? The U.S. is a big trading partner of China. If they get into a trade war, it's very easy for China to pivot. And the United States is hurt dearly by any sort of move like that. So I think that a lot of this is posturing. And I don't necessarily mean that in a negative way. I think he's being very smart about how and when he comes to the table with Xi. And I believe that the context at that point in time will be very positive for them to forge a relationship where they both get what they want. So I think, you know, managing headline risk is always going to be difficult in U.S.-China policy. However, if the two of them agree on a way forward, I think that they can establish mutual trust. And I think that is the guiding line between, you know, light between them.
It seems like you think the markets are actually rallying because they sense a better relationship between Trump and Xi rather than because of a big loan book or PPI finally getting wildly positive. And
right.
Such.
So I mean, look, we're starting to see the signs that we need for people to chase. And, you know, look, in Asia, the story's always been the buyers are higher, which sounds like a silly phrase, but no one buys the stocks in Asia when they're going down. They all kind of jump on the rally on the upside, and that will be driven by economic data. However, the sentiment of the market is driven by the relationship between these two gentlemen going forward, and it looks a lot friendlier than it did, you know, 2 weeks ago and certainly 2 or 3 months ago. And I think what we're seeing is that, you know, Trump was a presidential candidate that won over a U.S. opinion that was largely slanted in a negative view to China. Mm. Whether or not that's really true, which I don't believe and I don't think it's the way forward, he will certainly shift in what's best for the country now. And if those opinions are not the prevailing opinions, I think he's going to follow a track that has a positive slant towards China.
What about the likelihood of labeling China a currency manipulator?
Well, in my opinion, it's very hard right now. I mean, it's always been hard because it's not, in my opinion, it's not true. They have a different system that's maturing that they do have their hands in more than some of the others just because of the maturation process. However, if you look at what's going on, the currency is strengthening and the PBOC had every excuse in the world to weaken the currency if they wanted throughout the, in the face of a very strong dollar for the past 3 months. And they did the exact opposite. So it's very hard to come to the table with a currency that's been pretty much stabilized and looks like it's going to go the other way and appreciate and call someone a manipulator. And then, to my earlier point, not sit with Abe and talk about a currency that's gone from 70 to 120 under what the world claims is market forces. I mean, that's just, it's a very hard position to be in. And I don't think he goes there, to be honest. I think you've heard the last of that whole, that statement.
So you're a raging bull on China. Give us some names, give us some sectors, give us some themes.
So, you know, I admittedly I've gotten the H side of the equation somewhat wrong because I thought people were going to jump right into the A share market. We've seen a huge rally in Hong Kong, and I think that's, you know, on the back of PPI, PMI, and this reflation trade. And there's a huge discount that they trade to their counterparts. So smart investors are going to take the discounted equity in the safer market or the easier market to transact. I think it spills into A shares. And I think, you know, you have to look at the banks. The banks are just, they trade at a deep discount to their peers. And I still love technology. I think that the Trump initiative in the military spend will be largely focused on small and mid-cap technology. He believes the U.S. is very far behind, and I think that spills across the globe. I'm not necessarily bullish on large-cap tech. It's been leading the rally now, but I think it trickles down to small and mid-cap tech around the globe. And I think you still have to keep your eye on infrastructure plays as we get this big play.
I was going to ask you about that from the One Belt, One Road.
Right. So, the U.S. and China are embarking on two of their own kind of
infrastructure build-outs.
Yeah, so Marshall Plans or whatever you want to call them. I think that the coordination between the two leaders and that kind of coming together in a joint understanding that both of the infrastructure plays can work together. I also think something interesting for One Belt, One Road, I wouldn't dismiss the U.S. coming into AIIB, right? So if you look at how Trump has postured against Obama policy, Obama was really against AIIB. He put the South Koreans in a very bad position against it, which I think they're not happy with the influence that they were pushed. And I think one of the ways for Trump to really get on board domestically on the infrastructure spend is to endorse AIIB.